シューってなる。
Nothing in this world happens by happenstance. Whatever happens, we go someplace, we do something, there's a reason for it. Sometimes we understand the reason, sometimes we don't understand the reason. There was a Bal Musa, traveling once in Europe, and somehow the train got messed up and they wound up somewhere that, you know, they missed their stop or whatever with someone else. So they wound up, and they came Erev Shabbos to a shtetl, a tiny shtetl. So they asked where there's a yid that would take them in. They came to a certain yid, and he says, "No." He says, "I have a problem. The problem I have is that I have a baby who's going to be 8 days old tomorrow, and I need a moil." So I said, "The man that came with me is a moil." He says, "I also would like a great rov for a rov or choshev a talmud chacham for a son." So the one said, "The other man is a choshev a rov." What he wanted, they wished to send to his door. Sometimes the people that are lost realize why they were lost. Sometimes we don't realize. But whatever happens, happens for a reason. In Chassidish thought, they tell us that Parshas HaShavuot is the same way. The fact that we have a certain Parsha, a certain week, is because there's a message in that Parsha that's relevant now that the Rebbeinu Shalom wants us to have. That's why it's there. Next week is a different parasha because it's a different message. Relevant to next week. I once saw this in a very striking example. At the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, so Ramban tells us that the Tanoim studied Parshas Vayishlach when they went to negotiate with the Roman Empire. And the one time that they were too rushed, they did not sit down to study Parshas Vayishlach, is the one time that they failed utterly. It's the Rambam. So the Rambam tells us Parshas Vayishlach is to teach us how to deal with Esav. About 30 years ago, Parshas Vayishlach, President Reagan was the president. And then there was a plan of the United States government that they were going to pre-position certain American forces in the Middle East with their equipment, with the units in Israel. So everyone was very happy that they felt that this would raise the defense posture of Eretz Yisrael. But you know, if anyone starts up with them, there are the American troops on the ground there that they're starting up with. At the last minute, Reagan decided to cancel it. For whatever his reasons, he's not doing it. And this was the week of Parshas Vayishlach, and everyone was very hung by Chaverim. They were very disappointed. And I told him, "Rabbi Yisai, I'm not disappointed." Why? Because in Vayishlach, the Ramban tells us, go to Medrash. Esav was hoylech ledarko. Esav had no intention of engaging Yaakov Avinu. He had his own business. Yaakov Avinu wasn't a big enough fish to him to worry about at this point in his life. But Vayishlach, Yaakov, Malachim Lefonov, Yaakov drew attention to himself by sending his agents to him, etc. So now Esav turned his attention to Yaakov. But if he had just kept a low profile, Esav was Hoylech Ledarko. He had other things to take care of. Yaakov Avinu was not on his agenda. And the Medrash refers to it as machzik bosnei kelov. There's a wild dog running. So just stay out of the way. He'll run down the block and disappear. So what does the guy do? He engages him, grabs it by the ears. Now the dog has no choice. Now the dog starts to fight with him. And the Ramban continues. that the failure to observe this caution was brought about, was what brought about the destruction of the Baal Sheni. It's known from history that who brought the Romans to Eretz Yisrael? The kings of the second bias that were fighting with each other, they brought the Romans to Eretz Yisrael. They felt one side, that the Romans would be on their side and they would prevail. So we gave them a foot in Eretz Yisrael. The end was, they swallowed Eretz Yisrael and destroyed the Mikdash. So I told my Chaverim, I'm happy. We don't need to repeat the mistake a third time. Let the American army stay in America. Don't bring them to Eretz Yisrael. And it happened Parshas Vayishlach under Reagan 30 years ago. The Parsha of the Shavua has a message to us. And that's part of the Inyan of the Shnai Mikra Vechatar. There's a whole pilpul in the Rishonim. The Gemara says, "La'olam yashlim odom parsha yosef v'matzibu shnai mikra v'echotargum." So some of the Rishonim, I think Rashi, they make a cheshbon like this: if targum is good, listen, how adepted we are understanding targum. There's at least some measure of language barrier that's involved in understanding targum. So if we took, at that time a French translation, a German translation, or an English translation today, we're far better off than Targum. So the Chayra calls for it. So what was the Targum mean? Because the Amoratzim of the time of the Gemara didn't understand the Lashon Kodesh. I lived in Bavel, as the Rambam writes in the first paragraph, I was to feel that a language facility was poor in Lashon Kodesh. So the Targum was very good for them. Targum was the spoken language. So they say, if Targum is good, so Allah has come up with Kama, the vernacular is also good. Others disagreed with that among the Rishonim, and they said, no. The Targum is a Milo. What's the Milo of Targum? What's the Milo of Targum? There are two Milos to Targum. Number one, I don't mean to put it in order of significance. One is that, first of all, the Targum is a Maseret Misinai, it's part of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Secondly, the Targum has an advantage even over Rashi that it translates every word. And thirdly, that the Targum explains things which are not explained in the text. There are things in the text which are not so clear, are subject to varied interpretations, and the Targum explains them. So a literal translation would fall short because it would not offer the additional insight the Targum offers.
Targum Unglis was from, not from Unglis, was from CI.
The Gemara stated like this, the Gemara in the beginning of Megillah, that Unkelis Ager said it in the name of his Rabbi Lezer and one of the Tana. And he was, I think, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, was Makabal Targum from them. It's a chelik of
Masorah,
it's a Masorah, yes. It's called by Unkelis because apparently he's the one that saw that it should be, reinstituted. But it's a Masorah from the Tanoim, from Dor HaDor.
So it was like a movement of something that existed already, or did he made it?
Yeah, it existed already. He produced a revival. So here's a whole debate. So some say that, you could use Rashi. Rashi certainly, even though he's not at every single word, but Rashi is a Perush. Others say that if you took a Perush, which is Mefarish according to the insights of Chazal, that's also fine. That's at least as good as Targum. Now, what's the driving issue here? The driving issue is the following. Chabad Chaim makes a point. He says there are many places. Perush Rashi Yesh Lomayla Shem Mefarish Asinin Apim Bedrashay Chazal Yesa Me'at Targum. He gives more insight from Chazal into the Mikra than the Targum himself gives. Besides the Targum, we should have a parish too, such as Rashi. Why? That without Rashi, we have no understanding of the parashiyos altogether. So here the Chofetz Chaim is underscoring that what's the inyan of the Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. It's not just a formal exercise, it's that we should actually learn the Chumash. So, and now if we understand that the Chumash, the Parshat HaShavua, is meant to give us at least some particular message for this particular week, so that certainly it behooves us to be ma'ayin into the Parsha, not just to suffice with the superficial reading of the Psukkah. So I mentioned that there are other alternatives besides Targum. The Chofetz Chaim talked about in his time the Tenorana, which was a Yiddish translation, but according to the Medrashei Chazal, and he said that would certainly suffice.
What?
It was a say. It happens to be the women took a hold. You know, the Menorah Samar is a Rishon, but the Menorah Samar became a Musa Sefer for women. But the Menorah Samar is a Rishon. And he has a lot to say on Sugis Hashas, what the Pshat is. But somehow it became the Nachla of the women. And more contemporary times, Rosh Harmer's at Salsad, he felt that the Art Scroll, since the Art Scroll's translation is also, according to Chazal, not just the literal translation, that would also suffice to fulfill Mishnah and Mikra Vecha Targum. So a fundamental aspect of this is to understand the Mikra. And I don't know, it's a little bit of a problem in our age. You know, everything became, not the Daf Yomi, but almost all of the learning became forgotten. Poshe the Yid, you know, he certainly knew in the old days Chumash and Rashi. That he knew. And that, a Chumash and Rashi, is getting harder and harder to find. You know, you look back at the Polish Yidin that I knew, all of them, they knew the Chumash and Rashi like this on their fingertips.
They're still doing it in elementary.
What?
They're still doing it in the elementary schools.
I should have known.
Rashi regarded it, they're still doing it.
They don't know
if I'm humans. Yeah, but the problem is
they get to high school.
The problem is that's where they remain. They remain like they understood it at 10 years old. You know. So this is in this regard we've gone a little backwards. We've gone away from the Mikra to a greater and greater extent. So this is the first Indian. The first Indian is Bechlal.
So the Rebbe is saying according to Rosharnberg it would be Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum could be twice the Hebrew and once the English.
Yeah.
You have to say it.
You have to say it in English, or you just read it?
Yeah, you have to say it.
Verbalize the unit?
What?
You have to verbalize the unit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Abe Lincoln needs to read out loud.
Okay.
Well, so this is number one. Now, what are the time frames? The Hilchat Chilas, the B'di'evetz, Mishnah Mikra Vecha Targum. So, there's a question. Yishuch Roch writes that Miyom Rishon Ve'elech Choshev Imatziba, from Sunday and on, is considered with the Tziba. That's the start of next week's parasha. So, the Chofetz Chaim writes, Lav Davki Yom Rishon, because Shabbos afternoon, we read it. So there is a shayla. Now, when we start reading at Shabbos afternoon, that also was the end of the last cycle. So when does the cycle end? So we have two possibilities. Simply, you would say that half an hour after Chatzos, that's when the Tzibur starts reading. What's the difference if I daven 5 hours later? But the Tzibur started already. Or does it mean it starts when I start with the tzibur? So Rosh Shlomo Zalman wrote, Rosh Shlomo Zalman was meiko, that this man that you have to finish last week's, and maybe apparently presumed parallel to that, the start of the next week's, is when you actually hear it in the Beis HaKnesses. Like, until that time, it's still on last week's cheshbon.
So even though you know there's a minyan, let's say at 1:30, if you're not there, you can't
start. That's what the yidda. It would seem, he talks about, I think, in terms of when this man has to end, but I think that the implication is that that's then you're still in a tzibur with your tzibur, you didn't stop. I don't see how you'd split those two apart. I don't think so. So that's number one. That should be the start. Now, as I mentioned, there's a great deal of confusion about this with the parasha of Bezois HaBrocha, and that stems from the fact that there's all types of shittas. What's the lechatchila or shnayim mikro v'echatar? The Gro used to do a little bit every day. He would do up till a pay or till a samach, or till some place where it really was a logical break in the parish, and then he would go back again over that, and then he would do the targum. So this was the mahalach of the Gro. Others used to do said that Erev Shabbos is the main time to do it. Others held Shabbos is the main time to do it. So we have all types of shittas. Now because of that, that's what I believe. You know, you find different statements about when you should do Bezois HaBrocha. You should do Bezois HaBrocha, Shmini Atzeres, and Simchas Torah, and this. Most of the people that I've seen writing about it have not really grasped the Indian. Poshet is from Parshas Hazino, Shabbos, Parshas Hazino, whatever that is, whether it's Shabbos Shuvah or Shabbos in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and then they start to read Bezois HaBrocha in the shul. That's it. So that's the matzibah. They started to read. It's no different than any other parsha. All of the commotion is those that have a particular zman during the week, they do an episode of Shabbos, etc. So what is this man for this parsha according to those shittas? But Meikra the dinner, just following the straight Shulchan Aruch, that you start from the time you start the matzibah, is Shabbos, Parshas Hazino in the afternoon when you hear the Kriyas HaTorah, that's the beginning of Bezois HaBrocha. That's the beginning. Now what's the end? So the end we have again, we have a few. Some say it's until the Zman Mincha. That's the Poshet Pshat. Until the Zman Mincha G'dayla. The Zman Mincha G'dayla, it's over. Now there is a caveat added to that. Rabbeinu HaKodesh, as a Medrash, told his sons that on Shabbos, before they eat the Suda Shabbos, they should finish the Shnayim Mikro V'Chatar.
Friday night or Shabbos?
Shabbos day. So what was the reason for this? So the reason is because it was concerned, the Mefarshim should tell us, that after the whole Suda Shabbos, they just may never get back to it anymore. So this way, if they make sure Suda Shabbos, they'll certainly get back to it. So if they finish the parasha before Suda Shabbos, and then they know they'll finish the parasha. Now, if one ate early enough, which is not usually the Metzias by us, and for whatever reason they didn't have the opportunity to finish before, could finish after the Suda, until whatever we call this Zman Mincha, the two definitions that we have. Now, according to Shita number one, once that Zman is passed, that's it. Over Zman or Boto Kabbalah, he struck out. That's it, it's over. Start next week's Parsha.
Yeah, but we had, somebody was out there, and I'm always said that and before Yom Kippur, he would catch up everything he missed.
So we have a whole, we have three shittas here. Then we have a shita that says it means through Tuesday, Ad Rabbi B'Shabbos. Why? Because we have, and this is also an anomaly, the way it works. Because in the halachas of Havdalah, if a person didn't make Havdalah, he can make Havdalah Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Till nightfall, till the end of Tuesday, till Neil Ravi. So we see that those 3 days have to do with the Shabbos Abba. Now it happens to be that that same Gemara in Gittin says that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday have to do with the next Shabbos. So that ought to indicate then that I shouldn't be able to start Sunday. Well, we say Alav B'davka. You don't have to start. Since the Tzibur began already, even though they're not so fully integrated with Shabbos those days, Lav B'davka, it's a problem. Then there's yet a third sheet. And the third sheet that it says, what does it mean, Im HaTzibur? It's when the Tzibur, what does Yashlim Parshi Yosef Im HaTzibur, means when the Tzibur finishes all the Parshis. Meaning for us, and Simchas Torah and Eretz Yisrael Shmini Atzeres. So it's not talking about a week-by-week description. It's talking about when we finished the parashiyos. So since we finished the parashiyos on Simchas Torah, so we have to finish all the Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum until Simchas Torah. So sort of the halacha makes accommodation for all of these views.
But no one says that you have to. Im HaTzibur means Shabbos morning when they line the parsha, you will have to.
There are those, that learn that they should finish the Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum before the Kriyas HaTorah for that reason. That's Im HaTzibur.
I would think it would mean Im HaTzibur.
Many, 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 many interpretations. The interpretation that I offered last week is that it means that you should do it once on your own and then listen in the Reis HaKnesses. I mentioned that the Yecheskel, Yisrael told me, he saw that the Tois is rid. In fact, someplace learns that particular pshat. And he also said with the same board that I did, that's what it means, Im HaTzibur, you finish with the Tzibur. He makes a point to that, that Tais is written.
So when are they going to do the Targum if you do it that way?
Because they used to do the Targum and Shul.
Oh, yeah, well, some of the Yemenites still do that.
Yeah, so that's it. So yeah, that was the second. Your Mikra was one, the Kriyas HaTorah was two, and then the Targum was three, and that's it.
Oh, okay, that's good.
That's a simple pshat. Now, so we have different zmanim that we have to finish. Now, when don't we have to do Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum? Now, the halacha says that the yont of Tikka Parshiyos, we don't have to do Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. I told you I didn't Shabbos. The Poshup Shat is because those parshiyos we do, and they come in parshiyos HaShavua. So I don't have to do them. I have to do it once in each particular cycle. Now, parshiyos Re'eh, I'll do my parshiyos Re'eh. Parshiyos Emor, my parshiyos Emor. I don't have to do it again just because I read it Sukkos and Shavuos. That's the simple pshat why you don't have to. Now, how about the after? Do we have to do the after? So this is very interesting. The Ramo writes, Amonayin v'chein ein tzorach likroi saftaris. On the other hand, he writes, and become mokum nogru likroi saftaris. There was a minig to read aftaris. Now, the reason that the Ramo gives is blatantly not applicable to us. What was the reason? The reason is, if they call you up from after on Shabbos, you shouldn't break your teeth. So you know these Gaboyim like Ronnie, they never tell you beforehand who they're gonna call, you know. They keep the cards close to the vest, you know, and they spring it on you.
Because some guy walks in late and then all of a sudden messes the whole thing up.
Remember, you use a clap here. Most places.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Here, since we use a clap, so nobody's reading.
No, we need the six guys who know how to do it.
That's it.
Right.
That's so it. They don't tell Ronnie who's reading.
Okay.
The Browns. They're making a labor.
They don't tell them what they're reading, who's reading. So here, L'chaira, it is not particularly relevant.
Why? Because?
Because the whole opinion is that if you have to read it for the tzibur, you shouldn't break your teeth. But here, you don't read it for the tzibur anyhow.
Oh, I see.
Why are you adding that, guys? I'm on the subject, I'm sorry. You know, if the Balkari makes a horrible mistake, I correct him. But I was told, don't correct the mafti man, because half the time they don't know what they're doing, and you're just going to embarrass them anyway. So there's no chiyuv to correct him. Is that true?
You make a bracha.
Where's
See, a lot of guys get up there and they butcher the haftarah so badly, you just want to run.
You sound like you descend from Lithuanian Jews.
Partially I do, yes.
Oh, that has to be. my father, Allah Shalom, when he was 14 years old, the year was 1931. So he had a job reading in a Litvish Kehila, who was the Balkriya. So he says there he had to prepare meticulously, because they were Bekiyim in the Digduk, they were Bekiyim in Trump, and they were very tough about it, you know. He said if he ever came and he wasn't like super, they used to tell him, loser, was a gemesner, you still too full ball there, but he says, you were too busy playing ball, you didn't have time to prepare, you know, they were not shy about it.
I still don't understand. You're saying because, you mean, even back then, the person who got called up from Maftir didn't necessarily...
No, then he did.
So then everyone, the same way, you had to know it in case you...
That's why there are more, everyone had to do it. Nowadays, you know, even if you get Maftir, they're not giving you letting you.
Oh, I
that's
see.
What I'm saying. You're the other way around.
Does that logic spill over that... The shita that holds, you don't have to do it by the end of the year, you have to do it every Shabbos, because you'd be called, in those days, you'd be called up, you didn't just get the bracha, you had a lane also that aliyah. I'm saying the way the Rav described why the kids have to have Torah, maybe they also hold the reason why I'm coming to Torah is because you might get that aliyah.
Yeah, but it seems broader than that. Whatever. I don't think anyone limits it to that. Everyone seems to have taken it. It's a hypothetical. I didn't see anyone yet that says that.
I'm just really going to the Rav's piyut from last week that.
Well, I'm trying to say you should be
learning. Halacha is really integrated and linked with the custom of those days. So perhaps the reason is that they're not just hearing the mikra and targum, but they might have to lay in that mikra.
Conceivably, but as I said, I don't know how much it would have helped them. You know, because remember, in the Ramos time, they were reading from a printed text. The Ramos was not reading from a cloth.
It used to be that the Olah would also lay in his parsha. Whoever got Shlishi.
In the Minig Sfar, not in the Minig Ashkenaz.
At a certain point,
at some point, yeah, but that's true. Way back, probably everybody did. But more in the time of the Rishon already, Minig Ashkenaz was the head of all Kriya already.
Okay.
So. Now. What else did I want to touch upon? Now, there's an interesting halacha, and it's a controversial halacha. The Shulchan Aruch writes that Yochel Likra is a parsha, Shnayim Mikra Vechatagam, Shas Kriya Satara.